What's up, and welcome to the Real Life Podcast. Real Life is the student ministry of North Highland Church located in Columbus, Georgia. We exist to reach others with the love of God, engage in Christian community, advance in our faith, and lead others to Christ. For more information about Real Life, you can visit us at reallifecolumbus.com or follow us on all social media platforms at Real Life Columbus. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoy.
From my boy. How we doing? How we doing? How we doing? Are we lit? Are we excited? Oh, so let's go. So I just want to first say thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it. I need that same energy, like, throughout the whole thing. Because, look, listen. I promise you these are not my words. God, these are the Lord's words. And so when you hear something that you think is good, if you need to clap, if you need to say amen, if you need to say that's good, whatever it is that you need, I need the same encouragement that you guys need, and I promise you these words are not my own. Let me tell you, if you don't know me, my name is Clayton Shirley. I am our creative director here at Real Life. Anything that you see on these screens typically is something that I have made. This is not a brag. It's all the Lord, and I'm really just excited to be up here today because I'm a real lifer. Like I got here when I was a freshman in high school, and it is literally insane that I am up here right now. I promise you, Jubilee said amen because she knows. PJ didn't say amen, but he knows. He knows as well. I want to say, like, when we started this influence series, we all sat around and we said, you know, what is something that you guys need? What is something practical that you guys need? And it's to be an influencer. It's when you go to Real Life, when you ask the Lord to be in your heart, you immediately become an influencer. Amen. And so with that being said, I'm going to pray us in and then we're going to dive in. Are we excited? Are we ready? Lord, thank you so much for helping me write these words. God, thank you that these are not my words, but these are your words. I am a vessel for your word. God, I'm so excited that I get to preach this. I feel so strongly that there are people in this room that need this. God, and in addition to that, God, with March Madness coming up, God, you have ordered the Auburn basketball steps. God, they are 8-0 in March. God, and let me tell you, we're going to be 16-0, but we're going to win this championship. I know it. God, New Mexico State has nothing on the Auburn Tigers. God, I know we're going to win this thing. I've got money on this, God. And you know, I know you're going to order their steps. We're going to shoot like 1,000 threes and we're going to win this thing tomorrow at 12:30. Hallelujah. In your name we pray, amen, 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 amen. I know most of you guys aren't Auburn fans, but I am just so excited for tomorrow. Oh, my goodness, War Eagle in the house. So just a little bit more about me. I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, I am not the person that I am today without my parents, who are back there. Give it up for my parents for a second. Hallelujah. Kevin and Andrea are amazing people. But in addition to those two people, there's also a girl named Sarah Jane, and she is just, Lord, I don't know where she, I think she, Lord, she's serving her heart out right now, y'all. She's not even in here, but I'm not going to lie. I was a little bitter when she spoke because she didn't even say anything about me. And I was like, wow, am I not influencing her life? Like, what? But she influences my life, guys. Oh, there she is right there. She's amazing. She's beautiful. Listen, let me talk to the guys real quick. When I say, and Jonathan can attest to this, when I say that you need to find a woman that can make you a better person, I promise you, like, that is, period, period. Hallelujah. All the women in the house are like, hallelujah, amen. So listen, you need a woman that can make you better, because without Sarah Jane Kurtz, I promise you, I would not be the person that I am today. That's enough. Dad said, amen, hallelujah. And so I that's enough about me. I really want to dive in, and I just want to say, I've taken a complete 180 in my life over the last couple years, and when I tell you that it is a miracle that I'm up here right now, I can genuinely tell you I think it's a miracle, and none of it happens without Jonathan and Jubilee taking a step on me and sticking their necks out for me. We're going to get a little bit more into that in a little bit, but my first thing that I want to say is sometimes the things your leaders say are said to influence your future self. And let's see, all the leaders are like, hallelujah, I'm tired of sowing into these kids. Hebrews 13:17, it says, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. So I think that's just, like, really funny to me, because, like, I think that there are so many times in my own life where I can remember my leaders were practically begging me to change my life, and I wasn't listening because I thought that I could hide the things and still live the life outside of these walls, inside of these walls. See, I sat in the same seats that you did, and I tried to hide who I was, and it's a shame. And I look back, it's a real bummer. And when I said that Jonathan and Jubilee took a chance on me, what I mean is that I was a really, really dumb kid. Some people were like, hallelujah, I'm glad he knows. Anybody made some really dumb decisions in their life? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I was like the king of dumb decisions in high school. And I went to Columbus High School. Any Blue Devils in the house tonight? Hallelujah. There's like 12 of us in here. But that's okay, because we're smarter than you. It's fine. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Sometimes my former self comes out. I have a large passion for my alma mater. Go Blue Devils. It's really insane to me that, like, the seniors that are in high school now at Columbus High School were little baby freshmen when I was a senior in high school. And some of them remember who I was, and they were probably like, wow, Clay, he's so crazy. But, like, there's a lot more that goes into being the crazy guy who leads the pep rallies. And we're gonna get into that. And because of that, I want to say, to be able to sway the culture, we have to sway ourselves. You know one of the hardest things to get over when we first want to change? It's our own selves. We're so worried about our own internal issues that we forget that those things have already been forgiven. See, your past issues are a platform for his power and your future. You're game-changing, you're culture-swaying ministry. See, everyone's a pastor in this room. Whether you think you are or you're not, you are capable of being that. See, your current problems and the things that you think are holding you back from your influence, from influencing your friends, are lies from the enemy. Your current problem, whatever it is that's hindering you, God's saying, give that to me. If you'd allow God freedom in your life, if you'd let God really use your problems, he'd allow these problems to elevate your own influence. We want to protect those things so no one can see them, but God says, I want to use those. Revelations 12:11, it says, and they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb, and finish it with me if you know, and by the words of their testimony. See, that's powerful. When you give God your problems and the things that are hindering you, He's going to take those things. He's going to elevate those things to new beginnings. See, God's saying, stop trying to hide what I'm using. Stop trying to keep secret what I want to use to help you show my grace and power. Our problems are what makes us real. You want to know how to influence people? We have to be real with people. Real. See, some of you guys have friends in this room, and they don't want to follow Jesus because they don't think that they are capable of doing that. But what they don't understand is that those problems and those things that they think are hindering them, those are the things that are going to bring them out, and those are going to be the things that we're going to win the battles. We're going to defeat the enemy with the power of our testimony, just like in Revelations. See, when we're going after people that feel like they're inadequate, the best way to get on their level is to be real with them. They have problems, and that's okay, because we all have problems. But God is turning those problems into a platform to elevate your life. Go with me to Acts chapter 9, 19 through 25, and when you get here, you can say amen. And if you don't have a Bible, that's okay, because I put them on the screen for you. It's crazy. In Acts 9, 19 through 25, Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. After many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him, but Saul learned of their plan. Day and night, they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him, but his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. To give you a little bit of backstory here, Jesus has already revealed himself to Saul on Damascus Road. His eyes have already been opened, and now he's in the temple preaching the word of God just days after being converted, after killing first century Christians. And they're a little upset. They're like, why is this man who I just saw murder one of my friends that was a Christian, why is he in the temple? And Saul was murdering these people, and he's trying to preach the gospel, but they know what his past is. And I'm saying that just to say, people don't always want to see you change your life. Can I get an amen in the house? See, people know our past, and they don't want to see us winning. You know, a little Kodak, they don't want to see you winning. But we went in. See, Paul's transformation came with a ton of flack in the beginning, but he began to influence people around him because he elevated his life to become the influencer that God called him to be. See, the word elevate was really on my heart when I was writing this message, because I think that word's really important. And when it comes to influencing the culture around us, you've probably heard me say it a couple times already in the message about the word elevate. And so I want to break that down for you. See, and Webster defines the word elevate as raise or lift something to a higher position. See, yeah, I really like those last two words, to a higher position. I actually bolded them in my notes. And you should circle them or do something, to a higher position. See, you want to know why the stage is higher than the floor? Because it's a higher position. See, if I'm sitting down here, some of y'all can't see me right now. You know why? Because we can't preach on the ground. See, here's the thing. Some of y'all can't see me right now. Some of y'all are like, oh, God, I really wish there was like raised seating or something so I could see him. But see, the thing about it is, see, oh, hey, Sarah. See, Sarah can see me. You can't preach on the ground. You see, when people get on the stage, they immediately become an influencer. See, the reason that this stage is raised is because it's on a higher platform. If I'm on the ground, I'm not elevating my life. Anybody know Jesus' most famous sermon? If you know it, just call it out. Sermon on the Mount. Some of y'all might know where I'm going with this, but stay with me. The Sermon on the Mount is a collection of teachings by Jesus. It's a little bit through Matthew. You can read it later. I'm not going to put it on the screen. But I just want to explain what the Sermon on the Mount is. See, that's Jesus' most famous collection of teachings in the Bible. When people talk about Jesus' ministry, probably back then, that's what they were talking about. They were talking about that Sermon on the Mount. And you know what's so special about the Sermon on the Mount? It's elevated. See, he preached on a hill called the Mount of Beatitudes. And the mount's actually named, they probably named it afterwards, after one of his teachings. The hill is 509 feet above the lake that it's in front of. Most would say it's an elevated platform. I really love that Jesus' most famous collection of teachings, some of the most influential words Jesus ever said, was literally on a hill. Jesus elevated his physical self and said, I need to be at the place where they're going to see me. I need to be at the place where they're going to hear me. See, that's so special to me because when you influence people, you have to elevate yourself. You have to elevate your physical self. People have to look up to you. People start looking up to you when you become a Christian, when you are following Jesus. You see what I'm saying? Amen? See, I mentioned Paul earlier on purpose, partially because I have a special heart for Paul and Saul. Shout out Sleepwalkers. Saul, you guys, Dream State. Shout out. No, but seriously, no, I don't want to bring out the past. We got robbed. But that's okay. Shout out Rebecca, man. No, but seriously, I did a lot of studying of Paul, and there's a story in Paul that some people talk about, some people don't talk about, but it's really important to me, and it's when Paul's ship gets shipwrecked. He is actually going to Rome to be imprisoned, and there's about 276 people, soldiers and prisoners, and there's a storm coming, and Paul's like, bro, I'm telling you, you need to listen to me because we're going to shipwreck and there's a lot of bad things that are going to happen. So in Acts chapter 27, verse 10, it says, men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our own lives also. But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, he followed the advice of the pilot and of the owner of the ship. I think the centurion probably knew who Paul was and knew his backstory and immediately shot him down. But Paul, knowing he needed to take hold of this dilemma and influence the boat to save all 276 of them, had patience. See, Paul ends up being right about the inevitable storm and shipwreck. And because Paul is Paul, he lets the boat and his riders know he was right. But I believe there's a deeper meaning here. And it's that Paul had to elevate his influence to sway the culture. See, Paul understood that it takes time and effort to change the people around him. The band can come as I begin to close. I said at the beginning of this message that PJ and Jubilee took a chance on me, and I was intentionally brought up. I intentionally brought up CHS because I want to close by telling the story for the people that don't know me and for the ones that do. See, at Columbus High, I was on this thing called the Blue Brigade, and you think it's something amazing. It is pretty amazing. And it's a group of seniors who run the pep rallies and the student sections and at sporting events. And I thought I had it all figured out. I was the unofficial leader of the student section and pep rallies and I thought I was the man. I could tweet things and see, me and Jonah didn't even get along because that was the punk that I was. And then I could tweet something, and people would retweet stuff that I said. Anything. There was a time, some of the freshmen that were in here probably remember this. There was a time when we played Northside, and this isn't against Northside. It is against Northside, but it's fine. We had the annual, hear me out. I promise I won't make any more shots at Northside. I promise. Probably. we had the whiteout pep rally. It's one of my favorite pep rallies all 4 years. It's so much energy. The blackout, I'm sure, is just as cool. I was actually at the black and the whiteout pep rally. I had posters of my face at Northside's pep rally. Insane. That's how the bad influence was. See, there was a point where I said, raise your hand if you hate Northside, and 1,500 people all raised their hand. I look over to the left, and our principal is just looking at me in disgust. But I'm telling you this because when you influence people, you're responsible for their lives. When you influence people, you're responsible for their lives. See, I didn't realize at the time that I could have been using my influence at Columbus High to be showing my schoolmates how important Jesus was. See, I started trying to be an influence without showing the love of God to the people around me. This arrogance and this pridefulness that had developed in me kickstarted a really, really dumb season in my life. I didn't realize, Sarah Jane said yes, hallelujah. I didn't realize at the time how stupid I looked to people at Real Life and at North Highland when they knew I was wasting away the incredible influence that I had on that school. I could have had tons of Columbus High School students in these seats back then, and Real Life could have changed a lot of their lives. But I wasted a prime time of my life because I was too prideful to realize it. Don't waste your influence. If you have an influence, don't waste away at it. Can you stand with me? See, I give you a piece of that story to really show you how important your influence is in your own hallways right now. Whether you're a senior, a junior, a sophomore, or a freshman, you have the opportunity to influence the people around you. When you put Real Life in your bio, when you take pictures of tonight and you put it on your story, you like our stuff, you comment on our stuff, you become an influencer. When you wear our t-shirts, people are coming to ask you what Real Life is. What are those t-shirts? Where can I get one? And I'm saying this, don't waste your influence. The one thing that I wished I took advantage of when I was in high school was preaching the word to my classmates. And after high school, by the grace of God, Jonathan and Jubilee saw potential in me, and I didn't see it in myself. PJ helped elevate my life in ways that I can't even begin to understand. They allowed me to grow under their leadership, and now every day I get to be part of an incredible team, and I get to be part of the influence of Real Life on our city. And I get to be a part of it, but you guys are what makes this happen. If you look around you right now, there are seats that are open, and numbers aren't everything. I don't care about numbers. What I care about is souls. And it's the same thing that PJ cares about, that our staff cares about, that our leaders care about. And I'm asking you to be intentional with people. Be intentional about the souls, because every empty seat in this room is a soul that could be won. And when we get up to heaven, there are going to be people that say, Daniel Rodriguez got me to Real Life, and that's what changed my life. There are people that are going to say, I got to the altar, and Jubilee came and prayed with me, and that's what changed my life. And the reason that they're in the altars is because of one of you. I'm asking you, don't waste your influence. There is no reason that there should, and I say this humbly, I don't care about numbers. I care about souls. And so let's start looking at these chairs like they're souls. Okay, there is no reason there should be empty seats in this place. There are hundreds and thousands of people in this city that could be sitting here. There is no reason to have empty seats. I was around when there were empty seats, and this is a different time. The culture and the Holy Spirit flows through this room every single week, and there's no reason why there should be empty seats in this place. So I'm begging you, I want to look at the class of 2019. Who is replacing you? Because right now you're the leaders. Right now you're the people that you're the people that the younger ones are looking up to. So who's replacing you? I ask you. PJ said something really profound last week about asking freshmen to come in when he was in high school. So I ask you, find some younger ones, whether they go here, whether they go to your school, whether they work at your job. Find some younger people that can come and take your place, because it's not the same for everyone. There's going to be a time where you're not here anymore, and there's going to be a time where there's going to have to be other people that take your place, okay? So I tell you, the seniors, don't waste these last 3 months of high school. Get people in these seats. Get souls saved in this place, because I promise you, the best time to get souls saved is in the summertime, man. I'm telling you, Real Life summer is going to be amazing. I had an idea today, and it's going to be lit. I haven't even told PJ yet, but I promise you, the souls that are going to be saved tonight and throughout the summer are going to be because of you. Amen. So if you want to elevate your own lives today, can you bow your heads tonight? If you want to elevate your life, if you want to be an influencer, God, I pray right now for every single person in this room that wants to be an influencer, wants to be a game changer, wants to sway the culture. God, these altars are going to be open. And we're gonna sit in your presence, God. And we're gonna ask what it is that we need to be an influencer in our hallways, in our homes, in our friend groups, God. I was so thankful for what you're gonna do in this place today and for the rest of the year. God, we're so thankful for who you are and what you're gonna do and the influence that you're gonna have on our lives.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed, make sure you hit the subscribe button for our weekly sermons, and don't forget to follow us on social media for updates. If you have any prayer requests, feel free to email us at reallifecolumbus@gmail.com. We'd love to partner with you in prayer. Be sure to tune in next week on the Real Life Podcast.